First, after a lot of back and forth over public health concerns, Wisconsin held in-person voting yesterday as scheduled. But it was an election unlike really any other in recent memory, with fears about the coronavirus pandemic leading to reduced numbers of polling places around the state and long lines of voters in protective masks. So how has the coronavirus been affecting voters? Phil Chen is an assistant professor of political science at Beloit College. He's an expert on political psychology and voter behavior. Phil, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here, or joining you remotely.
Right. Yeah. Often we get to see you in studio, not for a while now, I think, unfortunately. Right. But Phil, we are in kind of uncharted behavior in a lot of ways when it comes to voter psychology and how people participate, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're in some sense, this is a I think that the data we'll get out of what happened yesterday is sort of a trial run for what this looks like should the pandemic continue into November.
What kind of lessons, and I know this is just the day after votes are going to be counted for a while, but just from what you saw yesterday, what kind of lessons do you think we can learn?
I mean, I think the first lesson we have to learn is that we need to be better prepared to administer our elections in a time of a pandemic. I mean, Madison, I think, did a better job. Milwaukee, I mean, when we were talking five of, 180 polling places being able to be open, you know, this is a system that relies on volunteer hours, and that's one of sort of the things about our system that makes it run, and it's kind of a interesting and sort of unique aspect of it. But those volunteers also draw from what we know, the people who are able to give that amount of time during the day, which tends to be older individuals who are also most at risk in a pandemic like this. So it's just a confluence of events that suggests that regardless of what happens, of how we design or adjust in November, we have to do a better job if we're going to maintain in-person voting of figuring out election administration.
Now, we're not going to have final turnout numbers for a while because ballots postmarked by yesterday might still be in the mail. They can still be counted. What are you watching for when it comes to turnout yesterday and how it compares to past comparable elections?
You know, I'm looking to see where the turnout numbers eventually get to, you know, percentages of absentee ballots versus in-person voting. But the truth is, I'm just not sure we can read too much into yesterday's turnout in sort of a broader comparative context. I mean, like you said, this is sort of a unique, never before seen situation. And so, you know, do you read in and there's in the sort of parlance of social scientists, we'd say it's an overdetermined result, right? We have the pandemic, we have reductions in staffing at polling places. We have a relatively non-competitive race. I mean, there's so much going on that it's going to be hard to pinpoint and point to any one thing from this election moving forward, at least from the turnout numbers, I think.
Talking to Phil Chen from Beloit College. He's a political scientist there, an expert on political psychology and voter behavior. We're looking at voter behavior on an unusual election day yesterday here in Wisconsin. I want to give a listen now, Phil, to Caroline Hildebrand, a voter who was waiting in line to vote in Milwaukee yesterday. Caroline told WPR she has asthma, which puts her at higher risk for coronavirus.
Frankly, I'm disgusted that the courts and the leaders in charge still allowed this election to go on today in person as planned. I think it's a massive public health risk, and I believe thousands of people are going to be disenfranchised for arbitrary reasons.
There was a wide range of reactions from voters yesterday, I think, Phil, from business as usual to I can't believe this is happening, as we just heard there. What do you make of the range of kind of personal reactions we've been hearing from people around the state?
So I think that, you know, we would expect that kind of range and to some extent, but I think that this idea that it's a, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist, so I can't speak directly to the risk to public health, but this idea that there were options is absolutely true. There were options for how to deal with this. We've seen other states delay their elections, move to more to better access, and so this idea that, you know, regardless of sort of the public health aspect, there were options that were not taken by those in power. And I think that what we're seeing is a sort of a natural reaction to being an anomaly when it comes to holding this election.
Now, speaking of anomalies, a lot of states with primaries happening over the last couple of weeks, over the next month, even into June, have postponed or switched to all mail. We see or all mail-in. Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey announced they're postponing theirs from June to July. I'm going to quote here: "I don't want a Wisconsin where folks have to pick between exercising their right to vote on the one hand and protecting their own personal health." Yesterday's election day, this is something people are going to be talking about as an outlier for a long time, aren't they?
I think they will. I think we're going to see that Wisconsin really did not follow the lead of a lot of other states on this issue, and that's not, you can draw your own conclusions or your own sort of opinions on that, but I think it's fair to say that we're an outlier in that sense. But in some ways, you might actually see an increase in in-person voting among people who say, what we know is things like negative partisanship are a strong motivator. And to the extent that this has partisan overtones and especially opposite party overtones, you may get more people going out to vote because of anger at the process or anger at the other side. This is Liliana Mason's argument around anger and enthusiasm being mobilizing forces. And so we may actually see that people who were maybe sort of on the fence about voting, especially as, we learned today that Bernie Sanders has dropped out of the race, we see sort of the culmination. We may have seen lower turnout, and you may have actually driven more people to the polls through anger in some sense, in that way.
Now, part of the reason the election did happen yesterday, as state leaders have pointed out, the rest of the country might be watching our presidential primary. We've got this Supreme Court seat that was up for grabs and a bunch of state and local elections. Do we know how those balance out, Phil, when it comes to motivating people to get to the polls? These Supreme Court elections in Wisconsin, I know, have been pretty hot in recent years.
The Supreme Court elections have been pretty hot, but I think, the big driver is still, the thing that gets people interested is presidential races, right? Presidential primaries, things like that. I think to some extent the Supreme Court race probably also mobilized some people. I would say down ballot races are probably had minimal, if any, effect. But again, that Supreme Court race, especially as money goes into it, as the campaigns put forth some mobilizing effort, you're going to see those as some of a mobilizing factor. I think especially on the Republican side, where there is obviously not a competitive primary, Republicans don't have a lot of reasons to turn out in a presidential primary with an incumbent, unless there's something like that Supreme Court race. So you may see some partisan differences in why people were interested in voting yesterday as well. But I think, the Supreme Court race, but probably the major driver is going to be the presidential primary, at least on the Democratic side.
I want to key in on absentee ballots for a moment. As you were mentioning earlier, people requested a lot of them, returned a lot of them. Clearly, some people who hadn't voted absentee previously must be doing it now. Do you see this maybe as being a trend now that people have been introduced to the experience? They're going to be more likely to do it, even if it's a normal, whatever that's going to mean, a normal kind of election year in the future?
Yeah, I mean, so the evidence on whether sort of absentee voting is sort of habit forming is, again, it's difficult to disentangle because what we know about absentee voters or people who take advantage of these, what we might sort of broadly term early voting options, we know that they tend to be more engaged in politics, more interested. That might be a little bit different, but again, the primary electorate is also already an engaged, interested electorate. And so, to some extent, we might see a little bit more of this sort of habit forming, especially since Wisconsin is a state where you don't have to give a reason for requesting an absentee ballot. But again, I think whether or not this becomes a habit might be difficult because there was a lot of problems with absentee voting that probably won't recreate in future elections where there isn't this kind of same demand and changes and things like that. But it changes the experience, and it reduces, if it reduces trust in the system, if people feel like, you know, I tried to get my absentee ballot and I didn't get it, and now I have to go vote in, stand in a line of thousands of people, yeah, that's going to change people's trust in the absentee voting system or the early voting system. And so there's a lot of moving parts here. You know, it may, for some voters, lead them to be more likely because they're introduced to the process, and we know being engaged with the process, having that experience with the process can build that habit, but it also might reduce trust in the process for those who did not have a good experience with it.
A lot still to watch for, Phil, including the actual results of yesterday's election. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course, anytime.
Phil Chen joined us from Beloit College. He's a political scientist there. He was with us today to talk about how coronavirus and the last-minute back and forth over yesterday's election may have impacted voter behavior.